A lot more information coming at our growers and producers today, and that's had an effect on the markets once again. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Darren Fessler is joining us today. Darren, of course, with Lakefront Futures. And let's talk first on this Phase 1 agreement and the probe that's been put in place by the United States.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's they're going to check out, see if they abide by the Phase 1 trade agreement that the Biden administration didn't really hold China accountable. And to me, this is a very interesting headline, simply due to because we are planning on meeting U.S. and China over the weekend and already are. And then President Trump and Xi Jinping are going to be meeting here in the next week or so. You know, are they utilizing this headline or this announcement as a leverage ahead of the negotiations? I don't see how that's not a leveraging play. You know, basically, hey, China, you said this and you did this. You're not really holding up to your end of the bargain. I think that's where the United States is maybe has the upper hand on this. But again, I've gone always back to the mindset is you're not going to force the United States to do something. You're not going to force China to do something if neither one of those countries want to do it. And that's really at the end of the day of where we are at. So hopefully we can find some common ground on some issues and we can get these bean exports rolling again here, because that's at the end of the day, that's what that's really what producers want and hope for.
What is the potential, Darren, that we might see some movement coming from next week's talks?
Yeah, I think the market has, as far as the beans are concerned, had probably already priced in some of these announcements, like maybe some goodwill offerings, if you will, from China. And, you know, is it going to move the needle in a massive scale? Probably not. I mean, they come out here and say China is going to buy a boatload or five or six of U.S. beans when Brazil is more competitive on price. I just don't, from an economic standpoint, see China doing that. Now, could China come in here and say, hey, you know what, we didn't abide by our deal, our announcement, and, you know, we're going to buy some. No question. We're going to buy some to kind of cool the waters, you know. I could definitely see that over a big announcement. Say, hey, we're going to be buying a, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 million metric tons of U.S. beans. I think that's a very far-fetched hope, especially when you get down to the economics of it.
Well, looking at that, I mean, you look at the president's talks with China, you look at the president's talks with Brazil. I mean, we're still into a lot of tariff discussions, and this is just something that just adds a whole nother layer to the fact that we're still not moving anywhere with the government shutdown, not getting reports, including this afternoon's cattle on feed report, and guys in D.C. went home for the weekend.
Yeah, and the stock market continues to make new highs. So it depends on how one wants to look at it, right? I mean, we're missing out on some important data. And while the government has been shut down, the market has been more friendly. Is that a good or a bad thing? I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, we still have some very good private analysts, private firms that can still provide us with some pretty good ideas. And the way the USDA has worked out in the past with these WASDE reports and how bearish they have been, I've been kind of more or less joking with clients. I mean, it's kind of a good thing that, hey, we're not maybe getting these reports here, you know, kind of let the market guess where we're at. And really, at the end of the day, it's about basis. And basis does a lot of talking. And you don't really need the USDA to say, hey, yield is this and this and this, when basis is kind of telling you, hey, there might be pockets of the country that are not so hot. And again, there is no question that Iowa is, I think, a bullseye for or a poster child, if you will, of disappointment. Because this crop it's an okay crop. It's far from what the USDA currently saw in their previous August report. Far from that.
Do we see the chance for another, at least one rate cut coming from the feds?
Oh yeah. I don't, I don't doubt that, especially after this morning CPI number, inflationary numbers, you know, definitely don't seem to be there. Now, again, I take that with a grain of salt, because you go to the grocery store, you go do anything, it's like, holy moly, these things are really high. So, but when we're looking at the headline CPI number, consumer price index, it was below what analysts expected. So I do think that we're going to see one, maybe two more rate cuts this year, one for sure. But again, does that spark inflationary fears? So far, that has not been the case. I mean, obviously, the markets really like that CPI number, continue to make new highs in the equity markets. Again, it's a back and forth. Every announcement we've had so far, you've seen massive volatility within the metals market. Whether we're going to have a, you know, earlier in the week, we were talking about maybe the government being open by now. Well, that's obviously not going to happen. Metals sold off, rallied back, sold off again. And then you get another announcement about these Russian sanctions, EU putting on sanctions, US putting on sanctions, and this oversold crude oil market really skyrocketed. And then you've seen corn and, you know, even wheat that has been absolutely obliterated here, well oversold, start to break out of a falling wedge pattern. So this market, no matter if you're looking at cattle, well, you look at the cattle announcements about Argentina, this market is so sensitive right now to any sort of headlines, whether it be Russia, Ukraine issues, Argentina beef, China issues. This is a market where you take what the market gives you and you don't fight the tape. Whether that be equities, whether that be cattle, you follow the momentum closely here. You set target orders in here, especially on the grain side. If guys have to move bushels, cash flow, don't have the storage, set some targets. Now, we've had some decent moves in corn. We've had some decent moves in beans. Can we go higher? Sure. But if you want to have some lower risk trades, the volatility in these option markets are ridiculously cheap right now, especially if China comes back and if Brazil does have some issues later on in their growing year.
What about the limit down that we saw in the cattle market today after that glimmer of hope yesterday?
Well, so the glimmer of hope yesterday, it was a glimmer. And that was that would be probably putting it at best. Because the way we finished yesterday, we came off well off those highs, finishing the lower 20% of the daily range yesterday, and it was just kind of setting up like, okay, we needed to get a close either back above the 20 on feeders, back above the 9 on fat. You failed to do both of those. And with the funds being as long as they are here, it was just, I think the market really got rubbed the wrong way with the comments about importing Argentine beef. And then you had some technical breakdowns. And then this morning, you were limit right off the get-go, pretty much within the first 20, 15, 20 minutes. And now you're getting the momentum side to really say, hey, we don't know what's going on right now, whether we're importing Argentine beef or whether we're not. And what we had heard, now again, I don't want to spread rumors, but there could be some more stuff that may come out here, but I don't want to be the one to put it out there. But that, there could be some other major issues that we've been talking about, maybe along the border, that could be impacting today's trade.
Anything else that you see? I mean, we're headed into a weekend, and we always seem to find some sort of news to be a market factor come Monday or even Sunday night. Any thoughts of what we should be thinking about as guys are in the combine if it's not raining?
Yeah, when you look at it, it's about the headlines. And you know, we are meeting in South Korea with some of our representatives, not Trump and not Xi Jinping, but how do those early talks, how do they go? And then really, how do we look at and how does Putin feel about what has taken place here? And I think when you look at that aspect of, you know, just taking 2.2 million barrels of oil off the market every day, and then OPEC coming in and saying, hey, if these Russian sanctions last a while, don't worry, we're going to supply a backstop with the supply. Can we get crude oil off the ground? Can we get crude oil up towards the $70, $80 a barrel? I don't think we can. because there's still too much supply. And where that matters for corn, it matters for ethanol. It matters for the perception of the overall commodity complex. And again, you can't just rally commodities in gold and silver. You can on crude oil. And so the higher the crude goes, I think it provides an underlying bid for corn. But corn, the market in general, is going to be very, very neutral here. I think you can buy the dips. You have to sell the rips because that's what the market's going to give you. Beans, you're relying on a hope. Every 50 to 70 cents, they have to be rewarded in this environment. Again, volatility is cheap if you still want to play in this market.
All right. Thanks so much. Darren Fessler joining us today with Lakefront Futures. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Friday market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.